on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Jim Bellett, number 61.
I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor.
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. Bo Mattingly coming up in 20 minutes to talk Chad Morris in Arkansas. Mike Griffith. Oh, I saw an interesting tweet from Mike yesterday about Philip Fulmer and said that Philip Fulmer is back on the recruiting trail where he belongs.
Oh, yeah.
I want to ask Mike about it because how many other ADs are out recruiting? What?
Well, Jay Jacobs spends most of his time out there. He's making sure the money gets there. That's what he's making sure.
Okay.
He's trying to save this class, remember? Like, he's trying to help save this class. That's one of the big things.
He's the athletic director.
He's a former coach. You can't take the coach out of the AD. You can try. He's always going to be Coach Fulmer.
Maybe you should take the coach out of the AD. I don't know. Whatever. We'll ask Mike about it.
Real quick, do you think Tuberville could chill out with that? Like, if he was the AD somewhere, say if Arkansas had hired him, do you think he would be? Do you think he'd be on the recruiting trail?
I don't think
trying to save a class. See, I think Tommy could be okay not doing that. I think he want to do a lot of football talking, but I don't think he's going to go try to save a recruiting class.
Yeah, I don't. You would have to. Tommy Tuberville would have to be getting paid to specifically go recruit.
He'd be like, I'm gonna need an addendum to my contract that says I'm gonna go talk to these kids some more.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
So I'm just trying to think about former coaches, how hard it would be to transition from coach to AD without being a little like, let me a little something right here.
So, I don't know. I was thinking last night, though, in reference to this Monday night football game that Kenyon Drake went bananas in.
193 combined yards from scrimmage.
I bring this up again only because we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Those Dolphins throwbacks, they're great, right?
Yeah, they're pretty nice.
Why are they not sticking with those?
Well, because they got fancy new ones.
So there are a couple teams out there that I think need to be sticking with their throwbacks. Dolphins are one of them. Patriots are another. Speaking of a team playing last night. I mean, the three-point stance, Patriot in a center position, needs to be back. Those uniforms are spectacular.
See, I almost feel like that's too old school.
No.
Like, that almost feels like the NFL before, like, people could draw.
No.
Like, before computers were around.
No, they actually had another logo before that. So, they had just his hat.
I know. It just feels like it feels too old to me.
I disagree. I also believe that the Giants throwbacks that they wore over the weekend, those need to stay. The lowercase NY is just doesn't do it for me.
Hey, you tried it. It didn't work.
I don't see why that's one that people really go to and think that is a good look. I think it's bad. Buffalo needs to go back to their throwbacks. The white helmet with just the old red Buffalo on it, not like the screeching, like star scream through the air Buffalo thing, flying, whatever that is, like warp speed Buffalo.
Not warp speed.
The still old school Buffalo on, like, the side of the helmet. The OJ era.
And by old, you mean like the Buffalo's looking ready to die because he's just standing there in the field.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
It's intimidating.
Don't you have to Don't your logos have to look like they're doing something, though?
No, I don't believe that they do.
You just want a grazing buffalo?
Green Bay's got a G. What is that? Is that doing anything?
Well, you can slant it a little bit like it's running at you.
So this turned into a big debate last night.
Oh, boy. Debates can get very bad.
I think if there's one team out there that should definitely... I think the Chargers powder blue should definitely... That should be either a home or road or something. That should be in a regular rotation. Those Charger white uniforms are not good. Actually, neither are the Navy.
You know, the Navy are like the dark blue with like the really bright yellow are nice for a change up every now and then, but not as a regular.
Blue pants and blue jersey, like the all blue?
Yeah, but not the Navy. But like there's a different color of blue that they sort of use that's come out in the last couple of years.
All right, so Chargers powder blue, Giant Lawrence Taylor era with Giants written across the side of the helmet. Patriots with the Pat Patriot logo. Dolphins with the dolphin with an actual football helmet on his head, which is amazing. I mean, we don't spend enough time talking about the fact that logo on the helmet last night, there's a dolphin with a football helmet on. That's just great. That's good.
Well, how do you expect to avoid CTE if you're a dolphin?
Exactly. No face mask, but...
Oh, no one's hitting a dolphin.
He's got that snout. He can just be able to use that thing. The other... And I'm interested to get your thoughts on this because a lot of people were really upset when I went here. The Titans oil rig throwbacks. The Earl Campbell era,
mm-hmm.
Powder blue, light blue, whatever you want to call it, baby blue, with just the white oil rig on the helmet. Those things are gorgeous. They're beautiful. They're perfect. They should not need to go away. Then I get people telling me last night on Twitter that they ain't the Oilers. You can't go with them uniforms.
Well, they're right.
Right. Go back to calling yourself whatever you want. I don't care. Because Titans is the dumbest nickname and the dumbest mascot name in all of the NFL.
Oh, no. There's the Steelers. That's stupid.
Okay. Well, that actually correlates into the city and has something to do with it there. Mm-hmm. But then the people began to...
That logo is pretty crappy, too.
But then people began to start throwing in, oh, you must not know about the Parthenon in Nashville and
what?
The Athens of the South. And
what?
Titans doesn't work, guys. And you can try to spin it however you want. They swung and they missed. It's bad. It's a bad name. It's stupid. The only reason they chose it is because it's two T's together, and phonetically they think it sounds good. It doesn't. Who cares? Geographic location doesn't matter for your mascot. You seen any bears in Chicago recently?
Couple.
And the Utah Jazz?
Jordan Hayward.
Where did the Utah Jazz come from?
Where there was Jazz in New Orleans.
Okay. How many Jaguars are running around Jacksonville, guys?
First of all, there are a lot of old Cougars there.
Panthers in Charlotte.
Well, I don't know. Well, you're talking, still talking Cougars in Charlotte. It's a rich area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So... I don't think that we necessarily need to go overboard with this geographical location of our team has to work. Shouldn't have gone away from the Oilers. Should just stick with it and just be the Tennessee Oilers. It's fine. I don't care if there's oil in Tennessee or not. Make it work and bring those uniforms back because they're some of the best in the league.
I said it and it's done.
By the way, your logo's dumb. Your colors aren't very good. Your mascot's terrible, and your name is atrocious. So you got about nothing going for you, Titans.
I would argue the Steelers logo is worse than Titans.
Now we
logo.
Are on the flagship station here
Mike
in North Alabama.
Show tonight at 6 o'clock right here on the Ump. Don't miss it. No one sells a segment like Cole Kublik. I agree with those who say that the Titans aren't the Oilers. I mean, it's just, I know you're saying go back to it, but... Realistically, you're not going back to it. It's a whole different franchise.
Design the sword in the same cutout of the oil rig somehow. Go to those colors and do like a sketched out sword, whatever. Why you got to make the sword look like a T anyway? That's like it looks like arena ball is what they
look like.
T's, so. Their logo, their uniforms, their logo, it all looks like arena ball. It's terrible. The Panthers don't still look like an expansion team, and they haven't done anything to their uniform except for, like, increase the size of the logo by a quarter of an inch.
Well, they've adjusted the way the Panther face looks a little bit.
Jacksonville looks like a piffle team, but that's a whole other thing.
Jacksonville is
terrible. They put a swimming pool in their stadium.
Well, yeah, they're. I don't even know what you consider them at this point. But no, I don't think the
third
Titans
place in the AFC
need to change. Well, close to second place, could be there by the end of the weekend. I don't think they need to change. The Oilers are Houston, and it's a different, essentially a different franchise with different ownership, and they moved it to Tennessee to get away from that. Now if they had kept it, I wouldn't have a problem with
it. Hey, the franchise was still started with oil money, but so maybe that's the reason you keep it.
But now that they've changed, why would you go back to something that's not you?
I don't know, because it looks good.
I would work people on the logo, because the flaming T helmet looking thing.
So bad.
The coin that's being thrown through the atmosphere look is not my favorite. I don't understand.
It's pretty bad.
Also, all the Titans uniform combinations.
Really bad.
Not the best.
Too much.
The two-tone blue does look good at times. Like if you get
they're all too busy. The uniforms are way too busy. You need a solid something, a solid pant, a solid jersey, something. It's just too busy, all of it.
Well, they had solid pants when they I guess the Color Rush is a big deal. The Color Rush looks okay.
I'm not counting anything Color Rush in this uniform discussion because that is its own category.
It's part of the pants that they do wear that they have worn before. So I don't know. I don't have that big of a problem.
So if you had one throwback that you think a team should go back to and stick with, what would it be?
We're just going to bypass the fact that the Steelers logo is terrible, right?
I disagree, because I think it has meaning.
Yeah, it doesn't. I'm sure the Titans has something meaningful to it, but...
Really?
I'm sure it does. I don't know.
I'd be willing to bet there was a contest and someone drew it.
Oh, see, that's
how it feels.
That's not fair. Titans at San Francisco, 2 o'clock on Sunday right here on the Ump. The Steelers logo is crap.
I will say this in reference to the Steelers. I really wish they would go back to the block numbers. Those cursive numbers, whatever they are, I hate those. I'm not a fan of those at all. I don't like it. And the 75th anniversary throwbacks were actually really good. The yellow helmet with the yellow numbers and the yellow names was really solid. It was a solid look.
But then you guys do Bumblebee uniforms.
Not good.
It's just weird.
They're retro from the 30s, and I don't like them. And I don't pretend that I like them like a lot of Steeler fans do. It's not a good look. And I got a Roethlisberger in that uniform on my Christmas tree right now. So,
was that a gift? Did you buy that one?
No, it was a gift.
Okay, good. Because that would be a weird choice for you, considering how much you don't like that uniform combo.
But yeah, I'm not one of those guys that's like, oh, the Bumblebees, I love them. No, it's not a good look. You can't tell me it is.
Well, I could, and you just would disagree. I think Seattle should go back to their throwbacks.
No, stop.
Yeah.
That's the one team that's getting it right.
Let's do it.
No.
Let's do it.
The Steve Largent era?
Yeah.
Those things are terrible, man.
Let's make our eyeballs bleed again. Let's do that.
Those are not good. That's a bad look.
No, they're not good, but they're fun. They're different. You knew it was Seattle. You knew it was a whole different team.
Now, one that I didn't.
You knew they weren't a real NFL team at the time.
One that I didn't mention that a couple people brought up on Twitter that I kind of agree with are the Eagles throwbacks. Like kind of like the dark lime green, the Randall Cunningham era.
I try to be objective. I can't say anything nice about the Eagles.
Do you prefer
the
new like mossy green, or do you prefer the old limer green? If you had to go one or the other.
I would prefer the one that's buried under dirt.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah. Eagles lie.
All right, so you can tweet in if you have any retro uniforms that you feel should be brought back. My number one is Patriots bringing back Pat Patriot. When they wear those things like a couple Thanksgivings ago, and then they've worn them like two or three times in the last 4 or 5 years. Man, they look, and it's not just the helmet; it's the whole uniform looks so good.
I like plain uniforms, but I like Detroit's Thanksgiving uniforms. Sometimes they'll wear that are just so plain that there's nothing happening.
Was it the 75th anniversary when they had like the brown pants? And
well, that's a little too.
It's like, okay, guys, so you can pretend like you actually had a uniform on. All right, let's get to 10 after tweets.
Bring me the tweets.
I also want to tell you guys that our bowl pick'em is up, and it's brought to you by Dreamland Barbecue. The winner of this thing's going to get $100 to Dreamland, $100 gift certificate to Dreamland Barbecue. Our bowl pick'em is up on the Cube Show Facebook page, the Ump Facebook page. I tweeted it out last night. Arky's tweeted it out. We'll try to get it up again from the Cube Show account today, but head over to that Bowl Pick'em contest, Cube Show, $100 from Dreamland Barbecue. Our Pick'em Bowl Pick'em contest brought to you by Dreamland BBQ. Ain't nothing like them nowhere this year. So you're playing for a lot of Q. It's a lot of ribs. It's a lot of banana pudding.
Yep.
A lot of sweet tea.
And we'll throw in a Cam Newton dab and bobblehead. Dab, dab, dab. That sound of me going off mic was me in the middle of a dab.
There you go. All right. Chris Crow tweets at Cube Show. Yes, the Patriots throwbacks are awesome.
I think Pat just hanging out there looks like he's taking a poo of a football. No, just nothing's really happening there. It's almost too it's too old for me.
Bill Big D tweets: Pats in red is the best. Cowboys this weekend look pretty sweet. Also, see, I thought those Cowboys uniforms this weekend are terrible.
They're bad. They're bad. They're as bad as you can make. The better Cowboy look is the really dark blue. With like the white shoulder pads that sometimes you used to see them do on Thanksgiving with the white helmets. The more times the Cowboys can wear the white helmets, the better. Anthony Oliver says, also Bama in white helmets. Why won't they do that once? Why can't we see the white Bama helmet once?
They've done it before.
What year?
I don't know, but they did it. There's paintings of it.
Paintings? Like on cave walls?
At Bama Muscle 63 tweets, warp speed buffalo, LOL. I don't know what you call that thing flying across the helmet.
Well, yeah. Pew. I don't know if there's a warp, how fast a buffalo can go, warp speed. I don't know if that's an option there for him.
Phil Davis tweets, the Chargers powder blues are tremendous.
Ross says, Cube Show question of the day. If the Titans change their name and mascot, what should it be? By the way, again, Mike Mularkey Show, 6 o'clock tonight on the Umps. He's head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
Luis Bassone tweets, haven't read through all the tweets, but is there a single newer logo uniform that should be used over any preceding retro jersey? The lone exception may be Tampa Bay Bucks, although I'm personally creative Bucko Bruce fan. A lot of people went Tampa Bay creamsicles yesterday as well. And
zero,
I think people like those now, but people hated those before they switched.
If you had to watch your team show up in that every week.
Now, somebody sent me
you'd kill yourself.
Somebody sent me a retro Redskins picture. Jason Campbell was the quarterback. And it was kind of like yellow pants, white jersey, with the maroon numbers, and it was a yellow helmet with like a big R circled in it with like the feathers coming down from the logo.
Yes, that was
pretty legit. I actually like that. I think the Redskins have good uniforms, though, just because they're different and they're plain.
And they're racist. Charles Craper tweets,
anything about the
Titans,
logo, just the uniforms.
Without the Titans name, you wouldn't have hashtag tighten up. That's true. What would you have?
I don't need to tighten up. I'm
like,
good.
Like oil her down?
Drill them.
I mean, you can add that. Hashtag driller. Hashtag oiler down.
I didn't say her, by the way.
Oh,
you did.
What?
I said drill.
What?
You threw in the her, not me.
A lot of showtime I've been watching recently. Uncle Mike tweets, Titans with white jersey and powder blue pants are as close to the Oilers as they get, and it looks sharp. It is a good look. Wayne Carter tweets, I have seen oil pump rigs in Lafayette, Tennessee, and the Tennessee-Kentucky state line. There you go, Cole. Scramble tweets, Steelers is based on vintage U.S. Steel logo. And I get what it is. It's just, it's not a good logo for a football team.
Shut
What's
up.
Really fun about that?
It has meaning, like I said.
Okay, sure. JD says, Chargers with
white. If you're judging logos by fun.
I didn't say fun.
Yours is a star.
Yeah. But it's a star of America.
How is a star related to a cowboy, by the way?
A quintessential America is cowboy. Dallas. Duh.
I'm still waiting on where the star comes in for that.
Star. Quintessential cowboy. America. Star. Flag.
What?
You heard it. JD says, Chargers with white helmets, powder blue shirts. Not bad. I like what people call jersey shirts. I'm not mad at that. I really do like that. Uncle Mike says the Titans logo incorporates the three stars, which is okay. I get it. Of the three grand divisions in the state of Tennessee, similar to the state flag.
Okay.
You don't have to do state flags and stuff. Like, I get it. Most of these logos have meaning, except for, like, Seattle. I don't know what they're doing. It's just like a hawk.
All right, Bo Mattingly joins us next to talk the Chad Morris hire in Arkansas right after this. Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. I'm going to welcome in Bo Mattingly to the show. He is a radio host all over the state of Arkansas. Follow him on Twitter, at Sports Talk W Bo. Good morning, Bo. How you doing, man?
Hey, doing well, Cole.
What has the reaction been of the Arkansas fan base with the Chad Morris hire?
You know, it's been pretty upbeat. People are excited. Even though he has a record of 14-22 at SMU, a lot of fans are mostly excited about what looks like a change in offensive philosophy and the ability to recruit Texas at a much higher level. When Arkansas has been good in the past, you know, it's had a lot to do with getting players out of Texas, and Chad Morris certainly fits the bill for having relationships in Texas, having coached high school football there for many, many years. Obviously, most recently as the SMU coach, building some relationships as well. And we've already seen him get in with a couple of high-profile recruits that Arkansas wasn't in on. So we'll see how it shakes out. But those two boxes, recruiting Texas and an exciting brand of offense, are certainly things Arkansas are excited about.
Bo Mattingly with us at Sports Talk W Bo on Twitter. You can follow him there. Do you believe that this style offense, this system, this philosophy that Chad Morris will bring is a better fit for Arkansas football than what Coach Bielema tried to sustain?
I do, just because I think it excites fans, and it's what also is being played more at the high school level. And I think you can go out and find more players that you can bring in to develop that can make plays with the ball in their hands. And you don't have to rely on the strength of an offensive line as much. You don't have to rely on getting incredible tailbacks as much. You take a little bit off the quarterback, and maybe you get a little bit more dynamic at quarterback without asking them to take a seven-step drop on a play-action fake. You can run it a little bit. You can keep the defense off balance. You can create some mismatches. But I'll say this about the style that Brett Bielema had. You know, look, they didn't execute what Brett Bielema wanted to execute when he came in. You know, they were going to be good up front on both sides of the ball, and they weren't able to recruit well enough to make that happen. So you never really saw Arkansas deliver, in the last couple of years at least, what Brett Bielema's philosophy was. So whatever it is your philosophy is going to be, you better be able to at least deliver on that to give it an opportunity to execute.
Will the difference in the state of Texas, specifically with recruiting, in your opinion, be a big difference between Chad Morris and Brett Bielema?
I think so. Arkansas is averaging about 2.5 players a year out of Texas per signing class. And Chad Morris is probably going to get in the neighborhood of 10 or 12 or more a year. And I think when you know as many high school coaches as he does in the state of Texas, it gives you a chance to evaluate some guys that may not be 4-star, 5-star players that go to A&M or they go to Texas or wherever, but it gives you a chance to maybe develop at a higher rate, a more successful rate with some of those other guys that Arkansas can get.
Bo Mattingly joining us at Sports Talk W Bo via Twitter, sportstalkwbo.com. You can find his work there. What is the latest that you have on the staff that Chad Morris is attempting to put together in Fayetteville?
Well, there hasn't been much because he's kind of hit the ground full speed recruiting and hasn't made announcements involving his staff. But some guys on the offensive side of the ball appear to be coming with him and are out recruiting for him. whether it's his wide receivers coach, his offensive line coach, Dustin Fry, Justin Steps, the wide receivers coach. Jeff Traylor is reportedly coming, who was the interim coach until Sonny Dykes got hired yesterday. He's a running backs coach. All eight, or I should say eight of nine Arkansas assistants were terminated, and Barry Lunny Jr., the tight ends coach, who's from Arkansas, played at Arkansas, is the only one remaining on the staff. There's also another guy, Bobby Allen, who actually was is the father of Arkansas's last two quarterbacks and was in an administrative role off the field, is also recruiting for Arkansas. We don't know who the defensive coordinator is going to be. We don't know who the rest of the staff will be. None of that's been announced or been made official. But those are the guys that are out on the road recruiting right now.
This wide-open offense that Chad Morris is going to bring, what parts of the roster that will be returning next year maybe will help him get off to a positive start? What are some of the better fits personnel-wise?
By the way, I missed a key one, Cole. Joe Craddock, his offensive coordinator, is coming with him as well. They've got some receivers, and they got some quarterbacks that will be interesting. You know, Dalton Wyatt is a guy out of the state of Alabama that I think has a chance to play. They've got a guy coming in, Connor Nolan, another quarterback that's really athletic, and Jerry Bohannon. Those guys will probably get some looks in Chad Morris's system. They've got some wide receivers, that I think have some upside and have some speed. It'll be interesting to see how they're used in his system. Can they get on the field right away? But he's also gone out and made some offers with receivers already, flipped a receiver from SMU. I think the big question is, I think they'll be offensively, they'll do some good things right away. Defensively is where I wonder what they're going to look like, because they weren't very good at SMU and they weren't very good at Arkansas last year. So what can Chad Morris do in recruiting? Who can he bring in as a coordinator? How soon can they get that personnel improved to at least complement what should be a pretty good offense?
What do you think the realistic expectations are, not just year one, but maybe years one through three, for Chad Morris are in the state of Arkansas?
It's a great question of what should be a reasonable expectation. You know, I looked at the schedule just a little bit yesterday, and maybe you can find six wins on that schedule without doing anything crazy. But we just don't know, you know, how long it's going to take to transition from yet another different philosophy. When Bielema came in, it was a completely different philosophy. This is a completely different philosophy. So how long does it take to get rolling and get the tempo going and get, you know, the understanding of the system? They don't have bowl practices, so now they're going to start in spring. So how much can you get done in a spring, summer, and a fall camp? Can they win six games? We'll see. And then I just got to see how everything else develops before, you know, you can start determining how Arkansas is going to do and what's going to be a really difficult division and has been. But, I mean, you had Jimbo Fisher at A&M. You know, Auburn's got it going pretty good right now. Alabama, we'll see about LSU, but we'll see about Mississippi State. I think Ole Miss is going to struggle. But this is going to be a really tough division for the next few years. And Arkansas, over the last 10 or 12 years, has really been trying to find its spot or make its name, and they've had to go through a lot of coaches to do it. So where's Chad Morris going to be in 3 years? And I think Arkansas Razorback fans would hope that he's pushing towards the 9-10 win mark and ready to maybe compete for the West in 4 or 5 years.
Bo, great stuff, man. Really do appreciate the time, and look forward to catching up with you soon.
Hey, always appreciate being on. Thanks, Cole.
That's Bo Mattingly at Sports Talk W. Bo, radio host across the state of Arkansas. Just talking that Chad Morris hire and some of the expectations that will come with that, some of the staff members that he's put together. I personally think it's a little bit of a better fit than Brett Bielema was in Arkansas. It looked early on like maybe what Bielema wanted to do was going to be able to be successful, but it turned out not to be. And then you started trying to be part this, part that, and it just wasn't gonna happen. But this, to me, is a system I think that, especially with Brett Bielema not having success in Texas, Moore should be able to have more success in Texas, bringing those kids in a chance to do more in the SEC West. Scott wants to join in on the phones. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good morning, Cole. I'm doing well. How are you?
Very well.
You guys were talking about NFL logos, and I think Archie said he didn't get or understand the Seahawks logo.
Yes.
I just wanted to weigh in on that.
Absolutely.
Please
give us your
Scott.
Thoughts.
The Seahawks logo is it's Native American, so there's a lot of all the coastal Native American tribes in Washington and Alaska have artwork like that, and you know, you might have seen totem poles from that area, and so that's where the Seahawk logo comes from.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I have seen totem poles like that. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Do you think
anyway,
this,
that's my 2 cents?
Scott, do you like the current Seahawks look, or would you like to see more of the Dave Craig, Steve Largent era uniforms?
I kind of like both. They added some trim to the Seahawk pants that also incorporate some of the Native American artwork. Like they're not quite chevrons, but they're kind of similar to that that go up down the side of the pants.
Are you a uniform guy, or do you like the Seahawks?
I am from Seattle, and I'm a big Seahawks fan. So.
Is Seattle's one of the 5 places I want to visit? Should I keep it on my list?
Oh, yes, definitely. I would go in August or July, where the summer is not hot like here. It's like in the upper 70s pretty much every day.
I can deal with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can deal with that.
And you've got the Olympics. You're in between a couple of mountain ranges, so you get to see some nice views of mountains while you're there as well.
Sweet, I can use that on this when we go and take my wife back up to Alaska. Boom, right through Seattle.
Well, have you been to Alaska?
No, but the wife and I are planning a trip. This is good. Me and Scott are catching up.
Yeah, go ahead.
That
you're
is
good.
Awesome.
Have you been to Alaska?
I have. I went on a cruise, and it's amazing.
I'm looking forward to it, except I like cold. I don't know if I like that cold. So I'll probably go during the summertime also where I can check out Seattle and then do Alaska. So
you'll still want to bring a rain jacket and, you know, a good warm jacket. And it doesn't have to be like a snow parka, but
good.
Especially if you decide to go on top of you can take a helicopter ride and land on a glacier. At
what?
This point, you'll want something warm.
That's a thing?
Yes. Scott, thanks
that
for
is
the call.
Thing.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking, that's the thing, and I did that. So, And it was pretty cool.
Can't hide money.
Thanks, Scott. We did a deal when I went on a cruise to Alaska where we took like a water plane and landed on this lake surrounded by mountains. It was really cool. You could see like 20 feet down in the lake, just crystal clear. It was really cool. It was cold. The guy was like, some people jump in. I was like, nope. I'm good enough seeing it. I don't need to say I swam in a random lake in Alaska when it was 40 degrees. I'm cool.
Some people do. Well, you're looking at the other people.
Hey, according to wearefanatics.com, when the team selected the name Seahawks in 1975, then general manager John Thompson, I don't know if that's like former Arkansas defensive coordinator or former Georgetown Hoya head coach John Thompson.
Oh, Hoyas.
He described a Seahawk as a tough fish-eating bird.
So yeah, I mean, they are birds.
Also derived from a picture of a transformation mask of the Quakawa tribe found in an art book called Art of the Northwest Coast Indians.
That's fair. That's exactly what kind of, that's the long version of what Scott was telling us.
What he didn't tell us is that they found it in an art book.
Well, no, that's the start.
So essentially, they're sitting there
getting the rubber cubing out.
No, they're just they're turning pages and then say, "Oh, got it, that one right there."
Tell me that's not better what the Titans did.
100%. All right, we'll be back with Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com next. Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. As we do each and every Tuesday, we welcome in Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com. Follow him on Twitter at MikeGriffith32. Mike, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Cole. How are you?
Doing great. What's the latest on the Tennessee staff and how it is formulating in Knoxville?
Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of been a daily process, but, you know, there's a lot of Gene Stallings influence on this, you know, with Will Friend and Kevin Shear and obviously Jeremy Pruitt. I thought that interesting. And, of course, Tennessee, Terry Fair, former All-American cornerback and NFL defensive back, and now he's on that staff as well. Still kind of coming together a little bit. Helton, the offensive coordinator, grabbed him from USC. Looks like he's going to be the offensive coordinator. There hasn't really been anything too official, but we gather just through their recruiting efforts and things we've seen on the internet that this is how it's come together. It's kind of a murky time, you know. Jeremy Pruitt's still the defensive coordinator for Alabama, and yet, you know, doing double time here working at Tennessee as a recruiter and as a head coach.
Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com. Now that we've had about almost a week for this thing to sort of settle in, do you feel like Tennessee fans are on board with Jeremy Pruitt as the new head coach?
Well, yeah, you know, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, they have a lot of confidence in Philip Fulmer, and, you know, and it's the start of a new chapter of the rivalry. I mean, the Alabama-Tennessee rivalry won't be the same as we knew it before. It's different now. It's Tennessee, basically, you know, Philip Fulmer, you know, hiring off, you know, away from his own coaching tree and hiring from Alabama. And it says a lot about what Nick Saban's been able to do, and certainly Gene Stallings and the way he's developed, you know, these three young coaches that are coming to Tennessee. So I think the fans are behind it. I'm not sure about the recruits. I know Tennessee's had three decommits. So, you know, really Jeremy's got to work hard to close this recruiting class out. You know, to be honest, things haven't gone great on the recruiting trail. But, you know, to be fair, he hasn't even been in charge for a week. So I guess some of this was to be expected. Some of this is the fallout from, you know, Tennessee taking 26 days to find a head coach.
Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com joining us at MikeGriffith32. Can find his work obviously at SECCountry.com. I got to ask you about this tweet that you had from a couple days ago. You tweeted hashtag Vols AD athletic director Philip Fulmer is back on the road, ready to prove he can still recruit with the best of them. I've never heard anything like this. Can you explain to us exactly what's going on here?
Well, you know, coach, you know, staffs are allowed to have a certain amount of coaches out on the road recruiting, and Tennessee doesn't have a full staff. And, you know, Philip said on the radio show he took a recruiting test, and so he can, I guess technically, he can act as a representative of Tennessee. You know, how effective will he be talking to players? I don't know. I mean, he hasn't coached in 10 years, but, you know, I would guess this is somewhat typical when staffs are undermanned as they are in this transition. You know, where they've got to be able to apparently pass a test and be able to go out and recruit.
Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com with us. When you look at how this roster will fit to what Jeremy wants to do, specifically on defense, who do you feel like is a good fit, and who do you maybe see as somebody who might have a hard time seeing the field that Vols fans expect to be on the field because they might have been a pretty good player?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the problem with Tennessee is they haven't had really many playmakers on their – I mean, they pretty much played with their second-team linebacking core the last 2 years because of injury. So it's a matter of who we can get on the field first as opposed to who he wants on the field. You got to have enough guys healthy. I think Nigel Warrior is a guy in the secondary that you know, could work well with Jeremy. I mean, he's a playmaker coming back, and Todd Kelly Jr. may be coming back from a knee injury, and certainly he had a great career his first few years before the degenerative knee issue kind of sidelined him this year. Really, honestly, Cole, for Tennessee, it's been such a mass unit. It's just a matter of getting healthy bodies on the field. I don't think Tennessee has enough of the caliber players that Jeremy wants to do the things that he wants. I mean, he's talking about wanting to play press coverage, and you got to have players to do that. And, you know, Tennessee lost two senior cornerbacks in this last year class, so he's going to have to develop some young guys really fast if he wants to play that style. And, you know, you look at where he's been, Georgia, Florida State, and Alabama, and I'd say probably 90, 95% of the time he's had the better guys on the field, and now he's going to have to coach when the other guys on the other team are better in some of these SEC games. So this will be a challenge for him, I think.
What do you expect any early entries into the NFL draft from this Tennessee team?
Yeah, maybe Rashawn Golden. He's thinking about it. You know, he was their best defensive player last year. He was kind of their nickelback, but there's some talk of moving him to corner. That's a guy Jeremy and his staff really need to recruit and try and convince to stick around for another year. And it probably wouldn't hurt Rashawn to play some corner. It might give him more value in the NFL, but he's a guy that could go early, go in probably the first four rounds. John Kelly's still mulling it over, tailback. Wants to know what the next staff has, you know, in store for him. You know, he's getting a big push from Ty Chandler, the young freshman, so there's a chance John Kelly could go pro, or Rashawn Golden, a couple of key guys. And again, you know, new staff, and you know, what rub are they going to get from this staff? And that's, you know, something I guess we're going to find out here in the next few weeks.
Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com joining us. Do you think Jeremy staying on with Alabama to coordinate in the playoff is good or bad for Tennessee?
A little both. I mean, you know, obviously it gets Jeremy's name out there and, you know, more visibility for Tennessee. You know, but if Alabama plays for the national championship, you know, like a lot of people think they will, then Jeremy can't get back to work at Tennessee till January 10th, and then he has less than a month to close this class. But good or bad, I mean, it's the way it is. I mean, it's what Jimmy Sexton was able to negotiate, and it's what Nick Saban wants, and so Tennessee's going to have to like it because it's what Nick tells them they got to like.
Yeah. You just look to – I oftentimes think that – I mean, Tennessee, he's not going to be there to help develop kids in practice, so they don't have the extra practices to get ready for a bowl.
Right.
What are people – it's going to be – and I said this with Kirby, that's going to be a major talking point with all of this leading up to the playoff and what's happening. And even if people are just talking about whether or not Jeremy can balance it or how is it going to affect his coordination of that defense when they play Clemson, that's all great publicity for Tennessee and the Tennessee program. So – with the early signing day and him to be able to go out the next few weeks and try to knock out as much of the class as possible and then focus on Alabama, I think it's a real positive for the Vols.
Well, but Tennessee could be practicing too, and they're not. You know, he's not there to work with the Tennessee kids. That's the downside. I mean, what Butch Jones did the first year they didn't make the bowl was he practiced them. Even though they didn't have a bowl, they still practiced. And they worked really hard, and they said, you know what, we never want to go through this again.
Wait a second.
And Jeremy could be Mike, getting a jump on his new team right now.
Mike, they went out in pads and practiced?
They put those guys through workouts that first year, yeah.
Like pads, like year. They hit and ran plays
I don't know
and drills.
Hit, Cole. I just know they put those guys through workouts that first year. They used that time, and Butch Jones used that time with those players, and they said they never wanted to go through that again.
Yeah, of course, you can work out. I've never heard of a team not going to a bowl, like actually having football practice. I've never heard of that.
They could be working out right now, and they're not. The bottom line is this isn't a great scenario for Tennessee. A better scenario would be a guy who's been a head coach before, that's all in, that's here all the time, that's a big name guy that everybody would have recognized. That was the best case scenario for Tennessee. It didn't happen. They couldn't get that kind of coach. So the second best scenario is to get an up and coming coordinator like Jeremy, you know, who's ripe for a head job, who's qualified for a job, and roll the dice and hope that he pans out. I mean, you know, not all the Nick Saban former assistants worked out. I mean, Tennessee's been down this road before. You know, Derek Dooley was a guy everybody thought would be earmarked for greatness. You know, his father was Vince Dooley. He'd been a part of Nick Saban's staff. He'd been a head coach before. And, you know, that was an absolute disaster. And, you know, Jeremy's a guy I think a lot of people have confidence in. You know, but he doesn't inherit a very good situation here. This isn't anything like Kirby. Kirby Smart took over a program that had won 8 games or more 4 straight years. Jeremy Pruitt inherits a team that, you know, has a divided fan base and a lot of negative former players that really, you know, hurt the program last season. And guess what? They'll turn on him fast. So I think, you know, this is a really interesting and dynamic hire. And I think it's a boom or bust hire.
Great stuff, Mike. Always appreciate the time. Look forward to catching up again soon.
Appreciate it, Cole.
Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com.
I'm trying to think about Tennessee and what they can do immediately. You've seen that team up close. The holes that they have on that team, if they lose a Rashawn Golden or if they lose a John Kelly. I mean, just losing pieces who are good and productive pieces for them, and not to mention that the holes they have on their team now. Do you think that Tennessee needs to go the way of, let's say, what Mississippi State did last year? They need to go JUCO to try to fill some holes quickly,
yeah,
to be competitive?
Because
it feels not, like they can...
Not seven or eight of them, but, I mean, like an edge rusher immediately, yes. An interior offensive lineman, if Trey Smith's going to stay at tackle, yes. Absolutely. You know, and some of this, too, is going to depend on how they want to manage the offense. I mean, if you're going to go more pro style, you need some fullbacks and tight ends that can actually block. They don't have that right now.
Just feels like they got a lot of holes right now.
Oh, yeah, no.
Quickly.
There's a lot. So, back with more Cube Show right after this.